Monday, February 24th, 1986. The preacher is Reverend David Marth. His sermon text comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 26, and his sermon theme, The Luck of the Draw.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They cast lots for them. The lot fell on Matthias. He was enrolled with the 11 apostles. Have your tickets ready. The winning number today is 924-883. For those of you who do not understand that short attempt at humor, that is a familiar number which Aaron, our organist today, has been calling at the field house these past few weeks, as we have given away a number of different items to friends of the seminary community in our attempt to create community in one of the events of our community. I thought it appropriate in connection with the text, however, this morning, and with the world in which we live, a world of people just like you and me who expect our number sooner or later to come up, who will invest those dollars in a lottery system that just may pay off. And we might even get that impression from the text this morning when lots are cast and Matthias is chosen to replace Judas. Far from the truth. Not even close. That's not the way our Lord works. That's not the way his system works. We do not believe that luck or fortune, that numbers that somehow come up our way, are the way in which he fashions our lives. Our ministries of life, of the pastorate, of the people whom we serve, are not dependent upon the luck of the draw. We know, as the text tells us today, in not only the choosing of Matthias, but also in the way God works to establish his kingdom, that it is he himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, victor over all, the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, who has things in control, who puts things together, who fashions them for us, not by happenstance, but by his plan. The disciples certainly could have gone on disregarding what the psalmist said about letting another take his office, figuring there were enough of us with our support group to do the ministry of our Lord after the resurrection. Maybe they could have even handled it much like the old church in Oklahoma handled a certain difficulty and problem one time that came up. A congregation that had no money, simply 10 acres of property, decided in a wiser moment to dig for oil and hit. Well, the problem was what they would do. Naturally, they called the voters together. The first resolution was to use the money now claimed to pay off all indebtedness and to burn the mortgage. Secondly, a resolution came that the money should be distributed in part to certain benevolences, certain agencies of the church that were worthy of their support. But so much was left over. And finally, a motion came from the floor to give the remaining monies to the present members of the congregation and divide it equally. Before that meeting was adjourned, however, another man raised a motion, which was easily passed. He moved that there be no new members for the next 5 years. Well, the disciples could have easily handled that way also. For the Lord in his resurrection, which they had experienced, eyewitnesses of that account, of that happening, could have easily, in their striking oil, said it's only for us, or the group of 120 there present. But no, they followed the Lord's plan, because they knew it wasn't just by accident that it had occurred. The Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled all Scripture. In going to the cross and coming out of the tomb, He had won for them the victory it was theirs to proclaim. They were in Jerusalem to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and also to fulfill all of the Scripture that they had heard. And one was to replace the absent disciple. And that's the way it works for us too. Watch how it happens in the life of those 11 and their support group. Because it happens the same way with you and I, people who sometimes really believe that it just kind of occurs and we take what comes to us. No, Peter says in Acts 1, verse 21, we need to choose, led by the Spirit, a man who, quote, accompanied us during the time of Jesus. And so Matthias was one of those eligible. As the text says, a man who had been with them from the baptism by John until the Lord had left the earth. He was the one who had seen all those miracles. Blind people seeing, lame people walking, the dead being raised. Matthias had been part of that group who had experienced the love of watching Jesus touch a leper, speak those powerful words and yet simple truths of his parables and other teachings. He had gone the route with the rest of them. Because when he was to be chosen, it was not because he was the most popular, not because he was in the right place at the right time. He was with Jesus all during that time. And he knew the love and power that Jesus had and fashioned for him. That's one of the marks not only of an apostle. It is a mark of those of us who follow Jesus today. For we accompany him. We accompany him in his word. We hear him proclaim his love to us. We experience the joy of watching another child come into the kingdom through holy baptism. We taste of the feast of victory, that feast offered to us on a regular basis through the sacrament of the altar. We accompany Jesus because he's a part of us and we are a part of him. Peter said not only was Matthias worthy because he had been accompanied Jesus, but in verse 22 he says he was a witness to the resurrection. And so Matthias stands as one who saw it all, an eyewitness that many of the famous martyrs and teachers after him were not even privileged to view during their lifetime. But Matthias, not tapped on the shoulder by fate, but part of God's plan for the continuance of his kingdom, was a witness to the resurrection. And so are we. The word proclaims to us that Jesus stayed in that tomb, but he came out. And we preach Jesus Christ crucified, and we preach Jesus risen again, ascended to heaven, and coming back for us to take us home. Whenever we doubt of who we are or what ministry we've been given, what lot has been cast our way, we relate with Matthias, witnesses of the resurrection and the joy of the ministry of Jesus. But the real clincher comes in verse 24. Because Matthias was not only one who accompanied Jesus and was not only a witness to the resurrection. The lot was cast his way because God had chosen him. Maybe that says it more than the other two parts of Peter's message to the disciples. It is that which Paul relates to us at the beginning of his epistles over and over and over again. Hey, this just didn't happen to me because I was some special kind of person. I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I am an apostle of his. And when all his opponents stood before him, he could point to that because God had chosen him for ministry. He had met Jesus Christ face to face. He was the most unfit and unworthy of all, but God had chosen him. And the same is true with us, my friends, who have the opportunity to accompany Jesus through his word, have the knowledge of the death and resurrection of our Lord, which is the only answer for salvation. But to know and believe and to be able to confess that God has chosen us too. You and I are chosen not just to be in here during 1985-86 in the academic season, but to be in ministry for him, however that leads us. And oh, how we forget that. Oh, how we wonder and get so discouraged about that, if that indeed is our lot in life. And maybe even especially during a finals week, when the pressure's really on to produce, when it all comes finally together. I'd like to suggest in the beginning of this week that we reaffirm the fact as those who have an opportunity to accompany Jesus, who get an opportunity to witness to the resurrection of our Lord, God has chosen that we consider that fact most boldly. Matthias, the no-name disciple. Who knows what happened to him? Maybe Eusebius is right. Maybe he was one of the 70. Maybe he did preach in Judea, stoned by the Jews. Maybe he was the writer of some apocryphal gospel. Maybe he even suffered martyrdom. Who knows? Maybe he even got his master's at Wash U. But the times when we think of, I wonder who would have been sent to St. Peter Arlington Heights, or St. Lorenz Frankenmuth, or Concordia San Antonio, Emmanuel St. Charles, St. John's Rome, New York, Holy Cross, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Trinity to Utica, Michigan, Chapel of the Cross, St. Louis, St. Peter Emmanuel, Milwaukee, and Trinity, Wausau, Wisconsin. Those are the top 10, you know. Certainly wouldn't have been Matthias. Maybe Peter, or Andrew, or James, or John. For sure, Matthias would have gotten stuck in South Dakota. Let it be stated again today that our Lord, who is in control of all things, who has completed it all in his work for us, has chosen us. And don't think for a moment that whether it's a group of Groudon, Eichmann, Hauptmann, or whomever, they're not throwing darts at a dartboard. When placement's coming, when vicarage assignments are coming our way, the Lord has his plan for us. And we can trust in that just as surely as Matthias did, who answered yes to Jesus' call, an accompanier of the one who is all in all, who has died and risen again, who has chosen you and me. To that we say amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will then keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.